Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Sophie, and I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm here to help with that.
And we are SP Film Viewers.
Each week, we take a deep dive into films that Sophie is seeing for the first time, some of which are deemed classics, some of which are my favourites, and some are just to try and get a reaction from her.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we have a lot of fun talking about what we've watched.
And we hope you have fun listening to our light-hearted thoughts and ramblings on this cinematic journey.
So tune in every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts from.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen bedauert.
Frequency.
And thank you all for tuning in.
You found the frequency of the past. And on today's episode, we have the further adventures of Nero Wolf, a character that was created in 1934 by Rex Strout. A story about a detective that never leaves his house, as his partner, Archie Goodwin, does all the legwork for him. The character has appeared in TV, books, and of course radio shows. And if you enjoy this episode, check out the archives for more. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. That all really helps out the podcast, and lets more people hear these stories. And also check out the descriptions, where you'll see links to everything associated with the show and ways to contact me, as well as further information about this episode. I'm also going to start putting the current poll in the descriptions, so that more of my listeners have a chance to provide feedback. All you have to do is choose your preferred way to contact me, whether it's through the social media links or my email. And with all that,
please enjoy the show.
Stay tuned for Nero Wolf, who follows transcribed in 30 seconds. Later tonight, over most of these NBC stations, Duffy's Tavern comes your way. And on the menu at Duffy's tonight, there's a blue plate special of grilled English language, served up by the delightfully ungrammatical Archie. Plus laughs garnished with chuckles, brought to you by Archie's remarkable crew. There's no cover charge at Duffy's Tavern, just keep your dial tuned to NBC. And this Sunday means another broadcast of The Big Show. Your guests include Fred Allen, Douglas Fairbanks, Danny Thomas, and many, many more. Tallulah, of course, is your hostess on The Big Show. Ladies and gentlemen, that phone bell means adventure.
Hello?
Hello?
The young man answering the phone is Archie Goodwin, the mountain of a man engaged in deep thought in the oversized armchair is Nero Wolf.
Mr. Wolf, we've got a case. I'm not sure whether somebody's going to kill a rabbit or a rabbit is going to kill somebody, but either way, it's going to be murder. Please, Mr. Wolf, even orchids have to eat.
Oy.
Yes, sir, Mr. Wolf will take the case. As a matter of fact, he's working on it right now.
Money, work, bah.
Greatest detective in the world. Only trouble is, he is.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Archie is right. Nero Wolfe is the greatest detective in the world, and the fattest, and the least energetic. Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout, and brought to you over this NBC network in a new series of adventures by Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight, it's the case Nero Wolfe likes to remember as the case of the friendly rabbit. He sometimes prefers his proverb scrambled. It began in lots of places. Let's take a look at a few of them. In particular, the richly appointed library of a man named Veek.
Mr. Veek, what's happening?
Relax, Haynes, your blood pressure.
I thought it was a gag, but you really are shutting the club down.
I'm shutting it down.
Why? I got the joint rolling, the suckers are pouring in.
And next week, the governor's committee.
Huh?
It's moving out of Baylor County. Our joint enterprise is in Baylor County. I think the club needs a rest. Crime committee so rarely admire gambling.
Oh, that's different.
So it is. The club needs a rest. You need a vacation. Florida, perhaps?
I don't like Florida.
Pick any place you like, just so long as you get out of reach of a subpoena.
The heat's on, huh, boss?
You've just coined a phrase that may very well catch on. Get out and stay out of the state until I send for you.
Okay, Mr. V. Sure, Mr. V.
Marshal?
Yeah?
That about covers us in Baylor, am I right?
Yeah, right.
The dear governor's dear committee will be sorely disappointed. However, I doubt it'll give up quite so soon.
I wouldn't think so.
Therefore, have the truck driver deliver another shipment of carrots to the rabbit farm. Eh, Marshal?
Okay, boss.
Come in, Williams.
Good afternoon, Governor.
Good afternoon. Williams, I'm disturbed.
The crime committee, sir?
It was doing well, very well. And then...
I know, sir.
There's a leak. Someone is passing on confidential information.
Who? That's the problem. Who? Started 3 weeks ago.
A three-man committee? Wilson, McCarthy, Tolliver. One of them, Williams?
I'd stake my life, sir, no.
Then who?
You've forgotten Collier, committee secretary.
You have reason to suspect him?
No, nothing that means anything. Except...
You do suspect him.
Well, he's been watched, telephone calls checked, mail... I have no reason to suspect him. Except that one thing bothers me.
What's that?
He has a small farm in Greendale County. He rarely went near the place in all the time he's been up here at the Capitol. But that suddenly changed.
3 weeks ago?
Yes, sir. He's been staying at the farm for 3 weeks.
Is there anything unusual about that farm?
Nothing unusual. Except Jimmy Collier has gone in for raising rabbits.
Jimmy.
Who is... Oh, hello, Claire.
You've been hiding from me.
I've been out here with the rabbits.
Jimmy, what's wrong?
With what?
You.
There's nothing...
You're lying. We grew up together, remember? We lived next to each other, Jimmy. We were going to be married.
Hey, wait a minute. We still are, last I heard.
You haven't heard recently enough.
What does that mean?
It means we're not getting married.
But, Claire...
You've been avoiding me. And you've been getting money, lots of money, from someplace. And in a shady way, I feel...
All right, you know. So what?
I've been concerned about your sudden devotion to these rabbits and the kind of men you've been seeing.
What do you mean?
Like the one up at the house now, waiting for you.
Oh, there's somebody waiting?
That's why I came down here after you.
I'd better get up there.
He's a crook, Jimmy.
Look, All right. I sort of got myself in a mess. I needed money, but it's over, Claire. No more.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
I wish I could believe you, for your own sake. But I feel I can't. Not anymore.
Archie.
Yes, Mr. Wolf.
Either stop breathing so heavily or...
Take the evening off?
Stop breathing.
Old Dr. Titmouse wouldn't approve of that.
Who in blue and assorted blazes is old Dr. Titmouse?
My family doctor.
May have escaped your puny mind, but you don't have a family. Answer the phone.
Oh, but it might be a case. It might be very important. It might mean work, Mr. Wolf.
Archie.
W-O-R-K. You've got millions in the bank. Why worry?
Confound you. Do you want me to answer that phone myself?
Now you've got me. No, Mr. Wolf. Couldn't let you knock yourself out lifting a telephone receiver. Nero Wolf's office. Archie Goodwin speaking. What? Wait, Mr. Wolf is to go up to Greendale at... Oh, now, look, friend. Mr. Wolf does not go anywhere, and that includes Greendale.
He wouldn't stir out of the house for anybody short of a... What? I see. Yes, sir, in an hour. Goodbye. Mr. Wolf, brace yourself. You've got an appointment with a Mr. Williams at the Starlight Hotel in Greendale for 1 hour from now.
You're insane.
No, I'll admit I've been tempted.
Sure. Were it not for the fact that often the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with a pale cast of thought...
Quoting Hamlet will get you no place.
I would fire you.
And then who would drive you to the Starlight Hotel in Greendale?
I'm not going to Greendale.
Nevertheless, in an hour, you will be there.
And who, may I inquire, Cecil?
The governor of the state.
Is that all, Mr. Williams?
That, Mr. Wolfe, is all anyone knows about the situation. Except the guilty man, of course.
An admirably clear summary, Mr. Williams.
Obviously, our meeting here at the hotel was necessary. I couldn't be seen entering your house, nor would it have been advisable for you to visit the governor.
I can appreciate that. You're quite sure I need pay no attention to anyone on the committee except James Collier?
Quite sure.
Police surveillance of Collier is deemed unwise. He has suddenly taken interest in rabbits, but although keeping them may perhaps be considered suspicious, it is hardly in itself of value. You have no other evidence against Collier?
I know we're clutching at straws, Mr. Wolf, but there is a leak and work is being nullified. Something must be done. Hence the governor's call for you.
Very well, sir. I shall attempt to be more than a man clutching at a straw. I said attempt. Archie, unpack. We shall stay at Greendale near Collier and his rabbits.
Mr. Wolf. Oh, naturally, I know that shutting your eyes and pushing your lips in and out indicates you're thinking feverishly, but there's nothing for you to think about.
Three.
Oh, I accept your correction. What are you thinking about?
Hotel beds. They're notoriously flimsy.
Oh, you gave up on the case so soon.
Fiddlesticks. I already know exactly what role the rabbits play in our problem. Therefore...
We're going to drive out to Collier's farm?
You are.
While you test the hotel beds, fine.
It'll be necessary for you to spend the night at Collier's place. You'll drive out there and pretend you've lost a cylinder or something.
Oh, a lost cylinder. Oh, fine.
Confound you, Archie. You can invent something plausible as a pretext, and if you are properly charming, Mr. Collier will, I hope, invite you to stay the night.
And during the night I sleep, happily breathing the fresh country air.
Trust not.
Okay, Mr. Wolf, I accept the assignment. I will learn all I can from Mr. Collier's rabbits. Incidentally, remember the play Harvey?
I do. Why?
Harvey was an invisible rabbit, a figment of a man's imagination. I hope this rabbit venture is more tangible, Mr. Wolf.
It is, Mr. Goodwin. Will you desist and depart?
Okay. Oh, if anyone calls, just say I've gone out to Greendale to cross-examine a rabbit.
Archie, I think you're going to be quite surprised. Yes.
Running out of gas, and me such a big boy. Hello.
Hello.
That tree a friend of yours?
The tree?
Yeah, the one you're clutching.
Oh, I was leaning against it.
It's an idea, but not a good one. Trees are notoriously skittish. The instant you really need one, they're out sowing wild oaks or something.
You sound as if you know a lot about trees.
Oh, I do. I was brought up in one. Look, now, if you really have to lean, I can recommend...
No, thanks.
Huh? I tried. Nice moonlight we're having. My name is Goodwin, and blondes call me Archie.
I'm not blonde.
Brunettes call me Archie, too.
And what do redheads call you?
We'll just skip that, huh? And your name is...
Claire.
Claire. I approve. Now, you may not believe this, but I have just run out of gas. You think I might wangle some up at your house?
My house? You mean Jimmy's house.
All right, I mean Jimmy's house.
Well, I don't know. He might have some.
Now, why don't we go up to the house and ask him?
Well, all right.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy who?
Collier.
Uh-huh. I like to be formal when I'm borrowing gas. Would you mind waving your left hand in front of my nose?
Waving, Mike?
Yes, just try it. Don't worry, I won't bite it.
All right. I did.
And very gracefully, too. No ring on the third finger. You're not Mrs. Collier.
There isn't any Mrs. Collier.
Are you applying for the position?
Mr. Goodwin, I...
Now, remember what I confided in you about brunettes.
All right. Archie, you're a little rapid.
Maybe. But I always remember what old Dr. Tidmouse said.
What did he say?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a-flying.
Robert Herrick wrote that.
He did? Dr. Tidmouse is a liar. How much farther is this house?
Well, it's just beyond those trees.
What?
There was something ran across the path. It brushed my legs. It frightened me so.
Must have been a rabbit.
I guess it was. Oh, I'm sorry. That was silly of me.
Oh, don't worry about it. Also, you will have noticed how much more satisfactory I am than a tree. We're clutching at it. Moments of stress, I mean.
Archie.
Mm-hmm. But you better let go now.
What I...
And we'll get on to the house. See, I don't need a haircut, and you're not the right type for Delilah anyway.
You mean something by that. Something nasty.
Well, that depends. What I meant is you've already signaled whoever you're supposed to signal. Nothing frightened you back there.
Why?
That scream had a lot of carrying power. Oh, that's the house, huh? Looks peaceful enough.
Archie,
Who were you supposed to warn if anyone came up the path to the house?
Well, no one. Something did frighten
Honey,
me.
Honey, I've been lied to by experts, and you're not one. Oh, think I ought to knock? No, we don't think I ought to knock. Dark inside, except for a handful of moonlight filtering in through the windows. Kind of early for Collier to turn in, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
Let's go find out. Now, relax, relax. Grandpa's making with the chimes. Time is... 10 o'clock. It's getting late. Come on. This would be the living room. Filled with early American furniture. The early Americans would be pleased. Nothing here. What's that door lead to?
I don't know.
Or won't tell? Smaller room. Dark as...
Come in. Put the beer on it. Oh, you're not the bellboy.
I'm sorry. I should have remembered to bring some beer.
Indeed, and you are?
I'm a fellow guest at this hotel, Mr. Wolf. My name is Veek.
Veek, yes. A criminal of moderate intelligence and immoderate pretensions.
We won't quarrel, Mr. Wolf. I've something to offer you. You and your boy Goodwin didn't drive up to Greendale for the exercise.
I dislike exercise. Shortens life.
James Collier lives nearby. The Governor's Committee on Crime is unhappy. There's been a leakage of information. It hasn't helped them in their work.
But it has helped you.
You wouldn't have left your house in New York on any ordinary job. A request from the Governor, however. Shall we stop fencing?
I don't have to fence with you.
The committee's work doesn't particularly bother me. I've already made my arrangements for retiring from active business, shall I say. However, I don't want you messing around in the meantime.
Indeed.
In your effort to discover how the committee's information leaked out, you might also discover a number of things about me that I prefer to remain undiscovered.
No one has employed me to do anything about you, sir?
Not directly, but indirectly you might have to. I want to insure myself against any such possibility. I want to make a deal with you. I'm ready to supply you with the name of the man responsible for the leak and papers proving his guilt. I have them here.
In return for which you expect...
A quick conclusion to your activities and your return to New York, leaving my name out of your reports.
I'm neither a public official nor a philanthropist. I should do nothing about you unless it becomes necessary. You may remove your hand from your pocket. You wouldn't dare shoot me. Now then, the name of the man.
James Collier.
Proof of his guilt?
These... A series of reports on the committee's meetings in Collier's handwriting.
Thank you. Good night, sir.
Good night. And I hope for your sake that we do not meet again.
Shoot me. Archie, answer the... Oh. Hello?
Mr. Wolf?
Yes, Archie?
I'm at the Collier place.
Since it takes only 10 minutes to get there, may I congratulate you on your speed?
I've been at the Collier place for nearly an hour.
Doing what?
Oh, meeting Claire for one thing, discussing rosebuds.
Your delay has been explained. Good night.
And for another, I was being around when someone got murdered.
Ah, you laid hands on the murderer?
No, the room was dark. By the time I got Claire untangled from me and started looking for somebody with a gun, he'd left.
I see. And the dead man, of course, is James Collier.
No, sorry.
Found it had to be. Who was he?
Total stranger.
Archie.
I'm not being difficult. There was no identification on him.
Strange. A description.
Early 30s, height maybe 5'10", weight around 175 pounds. Blonde hair, blue eyes, a very natty dresser. Suit custom tailored with a built-in shoulder holster. Don Juan shirts. Manicured but very dirty fingernails. And he... Company.
Please?
Mm-hmm.
Very well, you tell them whatever you think proper, without mentioning the governor's committee, of course. You then bid them farewell and come to the hotel.
Can't I say goodbye to Claire, too?
You cannot. Confound you, Archie. Do you think I want to wait up all night?
Police were not happy about letting me go, but I threatened to tell you on them, so they gave up.
You have told me the entire story of what occurred at the Collier Farm, Archie?
Mm-hmm. All details. If you like, I wouldn't mind repeating the parts about Claire.
Phooey.
You may call it phooey, I call it love. By the way, did you know that it was Robert Herrick who wrote that...
Confound you, be quiet.
Okay, push your lips around, but you've missed something.
I have?
Mm-hmm. The burning question of the day. The night, rather.
Which is?
Where is James Collier?
Bah!
Stop buying. The cops want him on suspicion of murder. The way it shapes up, he shot our unknown pal and then headed for the nearest border.
Nonsense.
Mean he didn't shoot our unknown pal?
I mean, Collier's whereabouts are not a mystery.
You know where he is?
I know where he is.
I don't believe it. You couldn't know. You haven't been out of the hotel. You haven't had any calls.
Archie, I use my intelligence. If you had used yours instead of opening the girl...
I still wouldn't know where Collier is. Never mind. I'm impressed. What do I do now?
You get Mr. Veek on the phone.
Huh?
He's staying here at the hotel.
Oh, old home week.
Operator.
Mr. Veek, please. Hello, Mr. Veek.
Who is this?
Mr. Wolf wants to speak with you. Just a second. Here you are, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Veek, where were you at 10 o'clock?
Why, on my way to the hotel.
You checked in at...
10:15, then came directly to your room.
One other question. You have an employee, a man in his early 30s, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and well-dressed. Am I correct?
Yes, that is Marshall.
No, that was Marshall. Good night, sir.
Having done that, whatever it meant, we now go to sleep?
Phooey, we go to the Collier Farm.
Okay, but why?
Because, Archie, the time has come to cross-examine the rabbits. Confound you, Archie. You're not driving a truck. Be careful.
Truck drivers are careful. Also, they are courteous.
Indeed.
Furthermore, they will always stop to help a motorist in time of trouble.
Archie, are you training to become a truck driver, or have you fallen in love with a truck driver's daughter?
Her name is Susie, a hair the color of wheat fields at high noon. Never mind turning purple. I'm about to change the subject. Boss, I have a theory.
Stick to truck drivers.
As follows. Our boy Collier, who had been selling information to Veek, had a change of heart and decided to turn ethical. But Veek's man, Marshall, at Veek's orders, tried to apply pressure, so Collier shot him and headed for Canada.
And the girl's role?
Was to brighten my life. Oh, you mean about her playing sentry? Well, she's in Veek's employ, too.
Phooey.
Don't like my theory.
It's charming. It merely happens to be wrong.
Merely happens to be... Why is it wrong?
Because, Archie, of a dead man's dirty fingernails, Marshall's fingernails.
Oh. Well, you made me bring you to the rabbit hutches. We have arrived. There are the rabbits. Go ahead, cross-examine them.
A good many hutches. A large pen for the rabbits to run about in. Notice that they're all cowering at the far end of the pen, ran as we entered.
That's because they don't like us, maybe, huh?
One of them, however, seems to be friendly. The one up here, and at the corner opposite us.
Oh, yeah, there is one here. He's not friendly, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed?
He's dead. Somebody stove in his skull.
Interesting.
What's interesting about a dead rabbit?
He may be dead now, Archie, but he was friendly. Too friendly.
Claire, this is Mr. Wolf. Mr. Wolf, this is Claire. Claire, I'm Archie.
Chair, Archie.
A chair. Try this one. Be gentle with it. If you break it, all the early Americans will hate you.
It'll serve.
Steady.
Oh. Well, now then.
Mr. Wolf, I'm dreadfully tired. The police have...
Are idiots.
What?
For example, do they know that you were posted as sentry outside this house in order to warn James Collier of any intrusion?
Well, they don't. I wasn't.
Do they know that James Collier and the dead man Marshall were quarreling?
No.
Do they know that James Collier had armed himself in preparation for this meeting with the gunman?
That isn't true.
It is true.
I don't have to say anything.
You've already said more than enough with your actions, my dear.
What do you mean?
According to Archie's report, and Archie is always meticulously accurate, when you and he opened the door of the room in which the murder took place, you screamed at the shots.
Well, of course. Any girl would scream with...
Then you clung to Archie with sufficient force and for sufficient length of time to prevent him from chasing the murderer. Why?
I...
Because you had seen and recognized the murderer as the man you loved.
It was too dark to see anything.
True. Therefore, you didn't have to see the man. You thought you already knew who the killer had to be.
That's a lie.
You're shielding James Collier, aren't you?
I'll never admit any of it. Never.
May not be necessary. Archie.
Yes, Mr. Wolf?
Get hold of that policeman outside and remember what happened to one particular rabbit. Well, look around for freshly dug earth. Midnight.
What are we waiting for?
A return?
Archie's?
No, it'll take him longer.
Well, then whose?
Mr. Veeks, of course, complete with a revolver. Come in, Mr. Veeks.
It couldn't have been easier. No one outside, only the two of you here. I warned you, Wolf.
Fiddlesticks. You merely tried to use me as a prop for an alibi and a rationalization for a motive.
I don't understand.
Mr. Wolf does.
Indeed, I do. Did you really think me fool enough to believe your proposal, Mr. Veeks?
It was plausible.
It was nonsense. You pretended you were handing James Collier plus the proofs of his guilt over to me in an effort to keep yourself out of the picture. But your proposition was silly. No matter how much I might have wanted to help you, I would have been powerless once James Collier went before a jury. You're too intelligent not to know that.
That couldn't have given you enough to go on.
It didn't. You yourself gave me more.
I did.
When you came to my room, you told me you knew Mr. Goodwin and I had come to Greendale, checked in at the hotel.
I did.
However, when I phoned you later and asked for an account of your movements between 10 and 10:30, you replied that you had driven to the hotel, signed in, and came directly to my room. Obviously, you already knew of my presence in the hotel. How? Only one way you could have known. You had seen Archie at some time prior to the time you checked in at the hotel, and the only place where Archie was
here, at the farm.
Yes, which told me Mr. Veeks had been here at the time of Marshall's death. What was Veeks doing here? Only one thing. Murder.
Then he killed the gunman.
No other possibility.
But, Jimmy, I thought he did it.
James Collier couldn't have killed Marshall because at the time he was killed, James Collier was already
dead.
Archie!
What's this?
Leave it.
Let's play. Untap that gun first. My arm!
Oh. That's nice and cooperative.
So...
He'll be quiet for a while. A cop is back in the rabbit pen, Mr. Wolf, guarding Collier's grave.
Grave, Archie?
Yeah. With James Collier in it.
Oh, poor Jimmy.
Veeks knew the exposé was coming. He had to shut Collier up. So he had his gunman, Marshall, kill Collier and bury him in the rabbit run back of the hutches. You spotted that, boss, because of...
A dead rabbit. The others scurried away from the man who bore James Collier's body to that lonely spot. But one rabbit overcame his fear. He was too friendly.
And got killed for it. There was that and...
And the dirty fingernails of Marshall, the gunman who killed and buried James Collier. Your description indicated extreme neatness. The dirty fingernails were a wrong note.
Yeah, indicated he'd been digging. So we know now, don't we? Vic killed his own trigger man to frame a dead man for it. Collier would be thought guilty. He'd be hunted among the living. And all the while... Oh, I'm sorry, Claire.
It's all right, Archie. I didn't love Jimmy. That was all washed up. Mr. Wolf, I understand everything, except why did Jimmy suddenly start staying at the farm with the rabbits?
He knew he'd be watched. He couldn't risk conveying his information by telephone or the mails. Nor could he be seen holding conversation with men who might be traced to Vic. But who would suspect a truck driver delivering carrots for the rabbits as being the go-between for Jimmy Collier and Vic?
Nero Wolf. Which is why I hope there's an adequate bed in this house for Mr. Wolf.
Well, I'm sure I'll be able to find one.
Splendid, Archie. You will have the police remove Mr. Vic and then...
And then maybe Claire would like to go gathering rosebuds, huh? By moonlight?
I would like to.
Good. You go up to bed now. I've seen the moonlight more times than I care to remember. However, while you and Miss Claire stroll through the moonlight, Archie...
Yeah?
You might remember that rosebuds have thorns.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolf, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Martha Shaw, Hal Gerard, Herb Butterfield, Howard McNear, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Impolite Corpse. Don Stanley speaking. Chimes mean good times on NBC. There's no cover charge at Duffy's Tavern. Just keep your dial on this NBC station this evening as Archie the Manager, played by Ed Gardner, and his remarkable friends serve up another blue plate special of grilled English language, fresh laughs and whimsy a la mode. Another Friday fun favorite is the delightful Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as the beleaguered Chester A. Riley. Now it's Sam Spade, then the Magnificent Montague on NBC.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3 for $10 on select Kellogg's Giant Size cereal with your card. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, that phone bell means adventure.
Hello?
Hello.
The young man answering the phone is Archie Goodwin. And the mountain of a man engaged in deep thought in the oversized armchair is Nero Wolfe.
What was that? Somebody's going to be murdered who has no manners? Well, what do you want Nero Wolfe to do? Teach him manners? Oh. Hold on. Mr. Wolfe.
Yes, Archie?
We've got a prospective client. In case someone she knows gets murdered, she'd like you to do something about it.
Very well, however, advise her.
Yes?
Not to get murdered herself. I never take a corpse for a client.
Greatest detective in the world.
Yes, Archie is so right. He is the greatest detective in the world, and the fattest, and the least energetic. He's Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you over this NBC network in a new series of adventures by Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight, it's the case of the impolite corpse. It began on a certain night at 8:40 when Walter Channing, an advertising executive, was dictating in his office to his charming secretary, Brenda Barclay.
Brenda, take a memo.
Yes, Mr. Channing.
This is to be mimeographed and sent to the entire staff.
The entire staff, yes, sir.
Notice, effective at once, 1 hour lunch periods will be strictly enforced. Employees will post time of departure and time of return. Yes, what is it?
Mr. Channing...
Bennett, I'm busy.
Well, I've got to see you, Mr. Channing. About this afternoon...
This afternoon was unfortunate, Bennett, but it happened.
I lost my temper. I'm sorry.
So am I.
Mr. Channing, I've been with the firm 14 years, and I... Well, because a man blows up once in 14
years... Channing's office.
Oh, you've got to reconsider. That's all, Mr. Channing.
I never reconsider, Bennett.
It's your wife.
But, Mr. Channing...
That will be all, Bennett.
It won't be all. You can't wipe out 14 years of a man's life. Even you can't do that, Channing.
It's Mrs. Channing on the phone.
Oh. Hello? You're where? That's in this building. Since when has Dr. Ellis kept evening office hours? I told you there's nothing wrong with you. No, I can't. I don't know when I'll be through. And I don't want you hanging around up here. Well, take a cab or walk. I don't care what you do. What? I can't understand you. What? Goodbye, Doris. Where was I?
Walter.
Yes?
You are going to reconsider about Tom Bennett, aren't you?
Bennett was insolent this afternoon. I won't tolerate insolence. Yes?
Shine, Mr. Channing?
Shine? No! What's he doing down here this time of night?
Half the staff's working overtime. Kelly's an enterprising shoeshine boy. Might have missed someone on his rounds this afternoon. Walter, about Tom Bennett.
Forget Bennett!
Oh, look, did you upset the inkwell? Oh.
Quick, blot the stuff.
Yes, of course. Did any spill on you?
Spot up my trouser cuff. Lucky you didn't get on the carpet.
Walter, about Tom Bennett.
I told you to forget Bennett.
All right, Walter, all right.
Well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you'd be better off to use him as a model.
A model?
If he knows he's not wanted around here... He'll have the self-respect to get out.
Meaning?
Well, you've known for a long time you're not wanted. And you're still here.
How you'd like to fire me.
Denying that would be silly.
I've been with this firm 15 years in January. Employees get a bonus of stock shares after 15 years' service. That's what I'm waiting for, and you know it.
Suppose we get back to that memorandum.
You'd like to get me out before I collect those shares, wouldn't you?
I said let's get on with the memo.
You'd be petty enough to do it, too, if you knew how.
There may be a way.
There isn't, and you know it. I'm too careful. You can't fire me without cause, and I've given you no cause, Walter. Nothing you can possibly dictate one of your vicious little memorandums about.
Don't try my patience too far, Brenda.
Walter, what? This can't be us talking like this, you and me hating each other.
I find it remarkable there ever was anything between us except hate.
Walter.
I mean it. Look at you. You were flashy when I met you. You're getting flashier. That means cheaper, Brenda.
Stop it.
Too much lipstick? Too much rouge? Hair too bright? Dress too tight? You're trying too hard, Brenda. You're labeling yourself like a sound wagon.
I wonder what it is that stops me from killing you.
Cowardice, of course. Now, when you've stopped sniveling, we'll get on with a memorandum. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Notice. In the interest of economy and efficiency, junior executives will confer in the conference room, not in private offices. Mid-afternoon coffee and personal phone calls and daily shoe shines will be eliminated.
Your name is Barclay, Brenda Barclay. Very well, Miss Barclay. What can I do for you?
Mr. Wolf, I don't know how to begin.
Well, maybe I can make this easier all around by briefing Mr. Wolf on the Walter Channing case. Hey, that's funny.
What?
Violet eyes. I always thought there was something the poets made up.
Archie.
Huh? Oh, the Channing case, yes.
One moment, Miss Barclay. Look this way, please. Hmm? To me, an eye is functional object found in mammals, birds, fish, potatoes, and horticulture. Thank you. Go on, Archie.
Walter Channing was the boy wonder of advertising. At 33, executive vice president of Winslow, Hart, and Straitmeyer. Just 24 hours ago, they found him at his desk, shot through the heart.
They? Who is they?
A night porter and a shoeshine boy, is that right?
Yes.
He'd been dead about an hour. The bullet went through Channing, his desk chair, and lodged in the windowsill behind him. Police thought at first it was suicide.
The gun?
.38, found it on the floor, 10 feet away. No fingerprints, anyhow, no clear ones.
Seldom are on a gun, but you say suicide was suspected. Why? The gun was 10 feet from the body.
It was the smudges.
Smudges?
Powder burns. According to the papers, he was sitting at his desk. There were no signs of a struggle. The gun was held against his chest and fired.
But it wasn't suicide, Mr. Wolf. Walter Channing would never have killed himself.
The police have already decided that, finally, according to the evening papers.
And I presume you, Miss Barclay, are a suspect.
No, not yet.
But you expect to be. That's why you came to me.
When the police talked to her, I...
Her?
Doris, his wife. I've been Walter Channing's secretary for 8 years. At one time, we thought we were in love.
Mrs. Channing was aware of this?
Yes. Oh, it was a long time ago. It was over. It was finished a long time ago, but she never believed that. Neither did Alan.
Alan who?
Alan Melick, head of the media department at the agency. We were going to be married when I... When Walter and I... Well,
decided you were in love. Miss Barclay, who finally decided you were not? You or Mr. Channing?
He did.
I see. Mr. Melick believes you did not share this change of heart.
Yes. Oh, he's such a fool.
I dare say you fear Mrs. Channing or Mr. Melick or both will reveal this ill-fated romance.
You know what the papers will make of it, what the police will try to make of it.
Miss Barclay, did you kill Channing?
No. Oh, no, I swear I didn't. Oh, Mr. Wolf, I didn't.
Please, for heaven's sake, no tears. Archie, put her in a cab.
Yes, sir.
Then come up to the plant room. There are some things I want you to execute for me.
Yes, sir.
Women, bah.
Yes, Mr. Goodwin, I'm Abe Jackson, a night porter. He was working late that night. Mr. Channing, his secretary, Mr. Bennett, Mr. Melick, and his secretary. About 10:30, I met the shoeshine, Kelly, on Mr. Channing's floor. There was a light burning in Channing's place. We went in to turn it off, Kelly and me, and there he was, sitting at his desk, a hole as big in his chest.
Tell me, Mr. Bennett, did Channing have any enemies in the agency?
Channing was a slave driver, Mr. Goodwin. The girls hated him and men were afraid of him. He'd send out memos like this one around. Here, take a look at it. It's typical. No coffee, no shoeshines, no office conferences. If you want my opinion, as one employee out of 150, whoever killed Walter Channing did the rest of us a favor.
You're Amy Long, secretary to Alan Melick. Now, what can you...
I can tell you plenty. How she jilted Mr. Melick, took up with Mr. Channing, got thrown over by him. I wouldn't go so far as to say Brenda Barclay would murder anyone. But if she did, Walter Channing would be 1A.
Channing get his shoe shined on
you? I called the agency men, sir. You know, it was Jackson and me found him. Everyone else had gone and left himself, poor soul, sitting at his desk, dead.
This specimen of an Anamnus train orchid. Beautiful, isn't it, Mrs. Channing? Mr. Milling?
I could never quite like orchids. They have no smell, you know.
It's pretty all right, but tulips are more in my line, Mr. Wolfe.
Tulips, Mr. Milling?
I had a stand of emperors this spring.
Emperors, come in, Archie. Emperors, Mr. Milling?
That's the name of a tulip, Mr. Wolfe.
A peasant flower, I've heard of it, of course. Archie. Mrs. Channing, Mr. Medic, my assistant, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Goodwin?
I didn't know you had company.
Mr. Wolfe asked us here to explain why Brenda Barclay is worried.
And you have both agreed to respect her position.
Brenda ought to know I'd never tell the police anything to get her into trouble.
Fooey.
Sir? He said fooey, Mr. Medic, meaning he doubts what you say and does not admit your right to say it.
Archie, Mr. Medic, you say you would never intentionally inform on Miss Barclay.
Certainly not.
The tongue slips, sir. We would expect you to guard yours.
What? Do you think
what
that...
I started to say. You asked us here because Brenda Barclay is your client. I despise Miss Barclay. Everyone knows that and why. But I wouldn't stoop to implicating her in murder.
You believe her innocent then, Mrs. Channing?
I believe she lacks the gumption to pull a trigger. Poison, I wouldn't put past her at all. Mr. Milik, would you be kind enough to see me home?
Of course, Mrs. Channing. Good day, Mr. Wolfe.
Good day.
And Mr. Goodwin.
You have, I suppose, an exhaustive report from me, Archie.
7 pages of notes.
Save them and get me a bottle of beer.
You're in a rosy mood. What happened?
I said I would like a bottle of beer.
No, you wouldn't.
Archie, you better...
Don't puff up about it. Those vest buttons won't stand the strain. I can't get you a bottle of beer.
Why not?
You ordered me to hold you to 4 a day.
I rescind the order.
You also ordered me not to let you rescind the order. What's the matter with you, anyhow?
I've had to entertain 2 very dull people too long.
Both those dull people are prime suspects. Mrs. Channing is a woman scorned. Milik lost his girl to the guy who was killed.
I can't blame her for throwing him over. Archie, the man grows tulips.
What?
Tulips. Well, give me a report.
I checked the agency, everybody who was working down there the night of the murder. Also, I dropped in on Inspector Kramer at homicide. Also, I visited the morgue.
Why the morgue?
Because if I hadn't, you'd have said, why not the morgue?
Go on.
I drew a blank there. Kramer let me look at the clothes Channing was wearing. There was an ink stain on the left trouser cuff.
An ink stain?
And a hole through his shirt front with plenty of powder smudge, like the paper said. He was shot with a .38 at point-blank range, sitting down.
An impolite corpse.
What?
Discourteous. He didn't rise to meet his murderer. That is most significant, Archie.
I know. I've got a theory about this case.
No theories. Facts, if you please.
But look, Channing owned a .38. That's a fact. It's disappeared. That's another fact. The murder gun was a .38 with the numbers filed off, and it could be Channing's own gun.
Thereby proving what, Archie?
That his wife had access to it.
Your theory involves Mrs. Channing, then?
And Milik. She decides her husband is less trouble to her, dead than alive.
A regrettable tendency of wives. Have you noticed?
And she sells Milik on the idea. Now, that wouldn't be hard. They figure to make it look like suicide, but Milik loses his head and runs, drops the gun on his way out, and... Oh. You don't buy it.
Enough of theories. The facts, Archie. Out of your notebook.
1. 9 people were on the scene that night, working late for one reason or another.
Mrs. Channing tells me she was visiting a doctor's office in the same building, by the way.
2. Every one of those people hated Channing. 3. Here's a sample of why he wasn't popular. A
memorandum.
Dictated the night he was killed. The staff got it the next morning.
A whipcracker, Mr. Channing.
Fact 4. The ink stain on his trouser cuff was partly rubbed out.
With what?
Cleaner of some kind. I didn't get the brand. Fact 5. There's a spot on the carpet near Channing's chair.
Spot of what? Ink? Blood?
Looks like ink.
It looks like ink.
Well, I didn't analyze it on the spur of the moment. My chemical set isn't working so good, boss.
Cooey. Archie, I want 2 things.
Yes, sir?
Get over to headquarters. The police have Channing's trousers.
Suggest to Inspector Kramer that he have the stain analyzed. Suggest also that the spot on the carpet be analyzed at the same time. Be around him when the information arrives.
This is Be Kind to the Police Week?
Fooey. I never have sought to beat the police on matters of fact, only on interpretation, deduction. Get going. Oh, and Archie.
Yes?
When you return, I should discourse upon the sanctity of deskhood.
The sanctity of what hood?
Deskhood. Now be off with you, and please remember you're tracking a murderer. Don't stub your toe.
Goodwin, the thing on the carpet was a dye of some kind.
Dye, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How long will it take the lab to give you the analysis on it, Inspector?
Oh, not very long. I've got the report on what was used on the trouser cuff right now, though.
And?
They found traces of carbon tetrachloride.
Wait a minute. This goes in the notebook. A carbon tetrachloride.
And something else. Goodwin, what's Wolf after?
Interpretations was what he said, Inspector. You object?
No. Maybe I'll get an interpretation, too. The something else was perchloroethylene.
Why, Inspector, such language.
What is it, Miss Barkley?
You've got to come to Mr. Channing's office right away, Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Goodwin has been to your office. Everything I need to know,
You've got to come, Mr. Wolf.
Nonsense. I don't go out. My digestion disapproves of it. I disapprove of it.
But, Mr. Goodwin, he's in danger.
What's that?
Terrible danger. He needs you here at once.
Archie, in danger? Let me talk to him.
Please, come. Hurry.
What's happened? Hello. Barkley. Fritz, get out of the car. Bring me my wool muffler and worsted vest. See if you can find my galoshes. Confound it, I've got to go out.
Going up. Step to the rear of the car, please. Mister, will you please step back?
I'm back as far as I can go.
You are?
Elevator. Contraptions for little men. Come, take me up, young man.
Hold it. Hold that car. I'm late for a date with a blonde. 16th floor, buddy.
Evening, Mr. Goodwin.
Good evening.
I was told you were in danger.
Danger? Mr. Wolf, you were... What are you doing out down here?
Sparky's idea.
About me being in danger?
Obviously, she was lying. I suspected at the time. But I fell in with her suggestion. I'm anxious to end the case. My presence here is needed.
Don't understand why she'd do such a thing. And why is your presence needed?
16th floor.
It's a matter of, perspective.
Brenda's got a very nice perspective. She'll be around here someplace. The agency's got this whole floor.
Her office?
Down this corridor, next to Channing's. Well, Kramer came through on those reports from the lab. That smudge on the carpet wasn't ink. It was a dye. Powdered aniline. Brenda!
Oh, Mr. Wolf, thank heavens you're here.
Hey, I'm here, too.
The police, they questioned me again this afternoon. I'm so frightened, Mr. Wolf. You've got to find the murderer before they...
Baby, take it easy.
Well, hello, Archie.
Hello. What's the idea of trying to pull a fast one on Mr. Wolf?
Well, I just had to see him. Please understand.
Is this Channing's office?
Yes.
You told him I was in danger.
Lost the place to sit down.
Well, I had to tell him something to get him down here.
He's not happy. You comfortable there, sir?
Miss Barkley, come here.
Mr. Wolf, I can explain. I thought if you were here where it happened, I mean, if you could see for yourself, then you'd...
Young woman, there are many things I'd like to say to you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. She was scared, boss.
However, I'm too short of breath to do them justice. Archie.
Yes?
Round up everyone concerned with this case.
Right now?
Including Mrs. Channing. Get them in here.
Yes, sir.
You help him, Miss Barkley, and close that window.
Yes, Mr. Wolf.
Fresh air.
I've had enough today, thanks to you, to last me a lifetime. If after all that exposure, I live a lifetime.
What's going on here, anyhow?
A tea party. Find yourself seats. Keep your knees steady. All right, Mr. Wolf, everybody's here.
Mr. Shoeshine Kelly?
Here, sir, here.
It was you who found the body.
Him and me, Mr. Wolf. I'm Abe Jackson, the night man.
You gentlemen can help us if you will.
Oh, to be sure, Mr. Wolf.
I'd like to know the exact position of the body when you found it.
Well, he was sitting up.
That's it, sir. Sitting up straight as you please.
You'll oblige me if you'll demonstrate. Sit in the chair, please.
His chair, sir?
If you please.
Abe. You.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. Not me. Not on your life.
There's no easy thing you ask, Mr. Wolf. I'll oblige you. It was like this, I'd say.
You agree, Mr. Jackson?
A little more to the right, maybe. Yeah, that's the way he was.
Archie.
Yes, sir?
Help me with a brief recapitulation.
Well, so far as we know, Channing made no outcry.
Therefore, he could not have been startled by the appearance of the killer.
There were powder burns on the body.
Therefore, the gun was against Channing when it was fired. His own hand couldn't have held it closer.
Nobody heard the shot, probably because this officer soundproofed. The gun that killed him was lying on the floor 10 feet from the desk.
In the direction of flight through that door. Go on, Archie.
The killer was almost certainly well known to Channing, or Channing wouldn't have let him come that close without a struggle or an alarm. Also, the killer had access to this office. Another proof that he's not a stranger.
One more point, if I may, Archie. The killer, he or she, is present here now.
Quiet, everyone.
We come now to the point I mentioned to you last night, Archie. The point I call the sanctity of deskhood.
Sanctity of what?
Deskhood, Mrs. Channing. Explain, Archie.
Still figure it's so important?
Absolutely essential.
Well, I wrote it here somewhere. Oh. Deskhood refers to that area behind a desk where a man earns his livelihood, makes his career, builds his reputation.
You mean here, where I'm sitting?
So long as a man sits at his desk, he enjoys a curious area of privacy. He is remarkably safe from intrusion. That's it, Mr. Wolf.
The sanctity of deskhood. Think about it a moment. You'll see what I mean.
Nonsense. I've gone around that desk hundreds of times. I'm sure she has. Many more hundreds.
If you mean what I think you mean, Mrs. Channing, you...
Please, ladies. Mrs. Channing, when you approached your husband at his desk, what did he do?
What did he... Why, he stood up and...
He stood up. Sparkly, you agree?
Well, yes, he'd have to stand up. At least he always did.
But for his murderer, he did not. Archie, resume from your notes, please.
Well, whoever killed Walter Channing went around the desk without Channing rising, held a gun to his chest, and pulled the trigger.
Excuse me. If you will go behind the desk and stand facing Mr. Kelly, Archie.
Here. This the way you mean?
You know the angle of the body wound or the hole in the chair?
There wasn't any angle. One was in a straight line with the other.
From where you stand now in front of Mr. Kelly, if you wish to inflict an identical wound upon him, could you do it?
Not from where I stand. I'd have to kneel.
You'd have to kneel. Do so. No, please, the murder tableau.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
The question now, who could kneel before Channing, get close enough to kill him from that position without alarming him in the least?
Kelly.
The shoeshine man.
Hey, wait a minute now.
Shut up, you, and sit there.
His motive is crystal clear.
The memorandum.
Memorandum. You have a copy, Archie?
In my notebook.
Ah, yes. Miss Barclay, read the part which could explain Mr. Kelly's action.
No,
the memo was all over the office. Kelly must have seen it.
Oh, wait a minute now. A notice effective at once. Yes, here it is. In the interest of economy, daily shoe shines will be eliminated.
That'd cut off Kelly's bread and butter.
Kelly, I can't believe it.
Nor can I.
What?
It's obvious Kelly murdered Walter Channing.
Mr. Wolf, now listen, I get nothing
but
to say.
But the obvious can be too obvious.
Meaning what exactly?
Archie?
Yes, sir?
Brief these people on the ink-stained trousers.
Channing spilled ink on his trouser cuff the night he was murdered. Somebody tried to clean the spot off.
With what?
According to the police analysis, carbon tetrachloride and perchloroethylene showed up.
Both non-inflammable ingredients.
used in many commercial cleaners.
Exactly what are you getting at, Mr. Wolf?
One moment, Mrs. Channing. Mr. Goodwin also has an analysis of the spot on the carpet behind the desk. Archie?
A powder form of dye, aniline dye.
Used in what, perhaps?
Well, the lab suggested a shoe dressing.
I got no powder dye. I swear I ain't, Mr. Wolf.
I'm sure you haven't, Mr. Kelly. You'll find this particular type of dressing is used on women's shoes, suede shoes, usually.
I don't understand.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yes, Archie?
If a woman... suppose a woman knelt in front of Channing to clean that ink spot off his trouser cuff. That smudge could have rubbed off the tip of her shoe onto the carpet.
Exactly. I believe you'll find a typewriter cleaner contains tetrachloride and perchloroethylene.
Something else just occurred to me. That memo was sent around the morning after Channing was killed.
I never thought of that.
True, Archie. And for only one purpose, to point suspicion at Kelly.
But when the police didn't take the hint...
Go on, Archie. What then?
Somebody else was brought down here who would. Comes around to three questions, doesn't it? Who knew about the memo? Who had access to Channing's file where he kept his gun? And who made sure Nero Wolfe would see the evidence against Kelly?
Three questions, Archie, with one answer that spells the name of the murderess. Our own client, Brenda Barkley. Steak, Archie, Manny, did you like it?
I'm not hungry.
Indeed, I suggest a tonic.
That reminds me. I had a call.
You had?
Doris Channing. She had some idea about my explaining things to her.
She found my explanation insufficient?
No, but she felt it lacked the personal touch.
Phooey. Hand me a can of beer. However, you do have the evening off.
Yes, sir.
Keep out of trouble. Doris Channing is a blonde. That is trying to keep out of trouble.
In the company of a blonde who wants to. Good night, sir.
Good night, Archie. Good night.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by William Kendall Clark was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Donald Morrison, Betty Lou Gerson, Bill Johnstone, Howard McNear, Mary Lansing, and Barney Phillips. Next week, at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you the case of The Girl Who Cried Wolf. John Storm speaking. Nero Wolfe, Archie, and all of our cast hope that our listeners have taken time out from this busy Christmas season to help brighten some youngster's Christmas day. Be sure to send a thing, your choice of anything you think a child would like for Christmas, to the groups in your own town who are distributing these toy gifts to less fortunate children. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.